Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, hey, was today swim time, pool time? There's no pool here. What am I talking about? I said pool like there's been a pool here since 1965. There's no pool. I don't know why. I don't know where that word came from. Cool. Glad you guys enjoyed it. All right, a couple things before we get into it. When I was at dinner this evening, this hat came and it was dropped at the table, and I was given instructions that if I happened to see Mickey, or if Mickey came by, I was supposed to give this to Mickey. Is Mickey in here somewhere? I don't know. It's a Los Angeles Dodgers hat. Is it yours, sir? All right. There you go. All right. Okay. Glad we got that out of the way. Secondly, I've had time to think. Sometimes we make bad choices, and we get a chance to think about our bad choices, and then we get a chance to ask for forgiveness for our bad choices. So where's Britt? Britt, hey, I'm sorry for hitting you with that during. I mean, I didn't realize who I was doing that to, and then I had to think about it. I was like, I know Britt's parents. I know your Uncle Tyler and your Aunt Erin. I know your Grandpa Roger. And I was like, that probably isn't, well, I appreciate that. See, that is what Miracle Camp is about. It's part of what it's about is you get a chance to ask for forgiveness, and then if you are serious about your discipleship and following Jesus, then you forgive. Remember, Jesus said, as many times as somebody asks you for forgiveness, you got to forgive them. There's no, there is no like cutoff point to that. So, Britt, I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, are we ready? We can jump in. All right, hey, first word was. Wait, let's try one more time. First word was. All right. Second word was. All right, perfect. All right, let's keep moving. We got a lot. I don't want to be this guy. We got a lot of important stuff to talk about. We do have a lot of stuff that we're going to try to get through in a short amount of time. So I'll try not to talk super duper fast, but I also, we're going to want to keep moving here. So we got about 12 verses we want to read through here. We are now picking it up in verse 19. I got to read my own handwriting here. Verse 19. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Not like his deliverance from evil or his deliverance, but he's talking about his deliverance out of jail. He's saying, I know that as you pray for me, that it's going to, at some point it's going to get me out of jail here. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. That probably sounds very weird or struck you as weird. We'll get into that in a minute. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I don't really know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so that I can continue to help you all grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, I will have even more reason to take pride. You will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. Verse 27, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies.
This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together. It's almost like, didn't we just have a High School Musical song about that? Are we all in this together? Do we do that one? All right. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. Okay. Thanks for reading through that with me. All right. Paul in jail. I know we keep saying that, but sometimes I feel like if I say it maybe about 50 times, we'll remember it by the end of the week. Paul in jail, hopeful that he'll never be ashamed of that, meaning that he's ashamed of being in jail because he was talking to people about the good news about Jesus, but always trying to honor Jesus with his life, whether he lives or dies. That's kind of where he is with this whole thing. And this is how he sums up his life, if you caught that in those previous verses. He's just kind of like, this is where I am with this whole thing. He goes, if I am alive, if I'm living, then I'm living for Jesus. Like, that's the whole point of my life. If I'm still breathing air every morning, and my heart is still beating, then I want that to be for Jesus. But if this is it for me, and I'm going to die here in this jail, Paul's perspective was, if I die here, I'm still the winner, because then I get to actually go be with Jesus. So he's kind of like saying, this is a win-win thing for me. If I'm in jail and I'm alive, then every day I'm living to honor Jesus. But if this is it, and if I don't make it out of here and I die in this jail, I still win because I still get to go see Jesus. I still get to be with Jesus. Does that make sense? Do you kind of see what he's just like? Either way, it's okay. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, which is funny because when we think about death, a lot of the time we think of death as just like, we want to avoid it. We want to avoid, like, think about any little, like, ache, pain. How many of you have already gone to see the nurse because you needed a Band-Aid or you needed something? Or like, I'm hurt. I need an ice pack. I got to pick on my middle school students here just for a second. Not you all, but the students I have at school. They're always going to the nurse. I bet one of y'all have a friend at school, and they always go to the nurse. Who's got a friend that's like, they're always at the nurse's office? They got to come in with like an ice pack tied around their knee. They got hit with a kickball during recess, and they came in with like a bandage on their head. They got to come in with a Band-Aid. Yeah, so I don't know where I was going with that, but Paul is saying, look, man, it's all good. We try to avoid being uncomfortable. Man, we get the slightest ache, pain. Back in my room, I've got medicine for this, I've got medicine for that, because I've been traveling the last couple weeks, and the last thing I wanted to do was be 1,000 miles from home and not have like the medicine that I might need in an emergency, because I'm a big baby, and the first time something hurts, I'm like, oh, I need something. And my wife already, she had to head back to Indiana, but she would stand up, and she's like, yeah, he's not joking, he's a big wimp. So he needs a medicine for this or that or the other. But just think about, like, we are trying to extend our lives. We think about death. We're like, no, man, I don't want to do that. And Paul is just like, bring it. Bring it on. The sooner I die, the sooner I get out of here, and then I can go be with Jesus. But I'll stick around if I need to. I'll stick around if that's okay. So he's just like, this is win-win. If I'm alive, I'm talking about Jesus. If I'm dead, I get to be with Jesus, so it's all good. Don't worry about me, church. And this kind of ties in, if he talks about, hey, my desire either way is to be with Jesus or to talk about him. So think about when we talked about our motivation. This is Paul's motivation. He's like, my motivation is to be with Christ. So dying would be the best thing for me. But if I get to live, then I'm going to stick around here, and my motivation is still going to be about Jesus, and he's going to have joy when he talks about that. His motivation and his heart are connected together. But he says, I'm going to continue to live right now because it's beneficial for you all. So I don't want you to read that and think that Paul is like dealing with depression, or he's just like, he's sad, he needs to talk to somebody. Paul is just saying, this is like, look, man, I'll stick around because this is the right thing to do, but you know, if Rome came in tomorrow, the guards are just like, well, we gotta execute you out there. He'd be like, all right, cool, let's do it. I get to go be with Jesus. So, and they'd be like, this guy's weird, put him back in the cell. So Paul is good either way. And that just sounds weird to us. We don't quite talk about these things the way Paul does. And so that brings us to question number one, which is always, what? And so our word tonight is, now, it's not just live. Look what it is. It's all caps, and there's two exclamation point. Thank you. Having a hard time speaking this evening. So it's not just live. It's all caps. So we say it loudly. Live! Thank you. Okay. The emphasis is on living, and Paul breaks this idea of living into two sections. The first few verses that we talked about, we're kind of backtracking, we're saying some stuff that we've already talked about, is that he's saying, look, he's ready to die, he's okay with dying, because if we just read him saying, hey, if I die, I win because I get to be with Jesus, but until that happens, I'm going to keep on living here. Notice he didn't say, I guess I'll just hang out here in jail, even though it's the worst. He says, yep, I'm in jail, but my goal is to live every day bringing honor to Jesus, and I hope I do that. So that probably implies when he says, I hope that I bring honor to Jesus, that probably means there's going to be some days in jail where he didn't quite do that. He probably is going to have some days in jail where he's just like, is this it? Am I really going to be sitting in here every day? And so there's be some days maybe where he didn't feel like he totally gave Jesus his all, but at least he is honest about it and say, man, my goal every day is to live, even though I'm here in this jail. And so I will talk about the goodness of God and who Jesus is to the people who work here, to the people who might be in the other jail cells next to me. Like, my goal isn't to sit in here and feel sorry for myself. My goal is to live. And his hope is that as he lives in there, that the Philippians will grow in Jesus as well. And if/when he's able to return to that area and visit them, that they will be proud of what Jesus did through Paul. Notice he said that. He's like, I don't want you to be proud of me. Like, good job, Paul. You made it through that jail sentence and you got out alive. Congratulations. What he wants them to do is like, look at what Jesus did through Paul by bringing him through that. So Paul is just, he's all Jesus all the time, or at least that is his goal. That's his motivation, like we talked about this morning. So that's the first kind of living that Paul wants, is he wants to live a life that honors Jesus. And we have seen this before in God's word. This isn't a test, but I am going to, I want to see, can anybody in here think of anyone in the entire story of the Bible, in the entire biblical narrative, can you think of anybody who was put into jail, probably not for the right reasons, probably unjustly, and still, in spite of being in jail, found God's favor and was able to do good things in jail? Can anybody think of anybody in the entire story of the Bible? You got one? Well, we're talking about Paul right now. So, but you're good. I need one more. I need another guy. Yeah. Who? Jesus. Now Jesus, he really didn't go to jail like there towards the last little bit. He was just getting punished and he was kind of getting beat up a little bit. But I appreciate you participating right here. Joseph. That's who we're looking for. Yeah. Do y'all remember the story of Joseph? We're going way back. We're going back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis, and Joseph, if you remember, Joseph has got kind of a bad deal, like, out of the gate. Now, you could get into the whole thing like, well, maybe Joseph, being a teenager, Joseph was about 17 when he found himself in a bad spot, and Joseph was a teenager, and remember, Joseph had 10 brothers who were older than him, and he had one brother who was younger than him. And Joseph kind of got all the special treatment in the family. And so there's these 10 brothers who are out there like busting their rear ends and working hard for their dad. And then Joseph seems to get all the special treatment, so they already don't like him. And then Joseph comes in and tells them about these dreams that he's been having. And Joseph isn't, have you ever heard the phrase like, know how to read the room? Have you heard that one before? Like, you know when's a good time to ask your parents for something and when's a bad time. And sometimes you've gotten those mixed up and you've asked for something on a day when you shouldn't be asking for anything. You should probably just, like, go to your room and just kind of exist up there. Well, Joseph doesn't quite read the room well, and so he gives this thing to his brothers, and they're like, we got a better idea. We're going to sell you. And so they take him and they sell him to these guys as a slave. Joseph finds his way into Egypt, and through a series of a twisty turn of events involving a guy that he worked for and his wife, and you can read that story on your own time or talk to your cabin leader about it. Maybe they can tell you that story. Joseph lands in jail. Joseph lands in an Egyptian prison, and he's in there for about 19 years. Right. And so, but what we are told in that story is that even in spite of all of that, Joseph, the scripture says, found favor with God and with men even while he was in jail. And he found himself being, it was almost like he was a prisoner, but he was being put in charge of stuff because they could trust him. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't like a burglar or a murderer or a thief or any of that kind of stuff. He was in jail, but Joseph is still living. Joseph isn't in there being like, this stinks and I hate those brothers and if I find them, I'm going to choke them. Like, that is not Joseph's attitude in there. But we have seen this before where somebody is put in jail probably for the wrong reasons and still finds a way to live. So we've seen this before in God's word. So that's kind of the first type of living that Paul is saying and doing. He's tying that joy and that motivation together. Now here's the second kind of living that Paul wants us to think about. And that's in that second half, in verse 27, where he tells us, he says, hey, above all, you all need to live as citizens of heaven. Now, remember last night when we first got started, and I put a phrase up on the wall that says, hey, we got to remember that the Bible was written for us, but it was not written to us. Did you guys catch that when we put that up there last night? So when Paul makes this statement that says, you have to be citizens of heaven, if we don't have a good understanding of when Paul said what he said and to whom he was saying what he was saying, we can read that phrase and it can just go right over our heads and we'll just keep on going. But here's the thing. When Paul says you need to remember that you got to be a citizen of heaven first, this would be a controversial statement, because the entire area of the New Testament and where Paul was traveling and where we read all these, that whole area was controlled by the Romans. That was called the Roman Empire. It stretched about 1,500 miles across the entire Mediterranean Sea there and extended a little bit to the east and almost heading towards what we would call like heading towards India these days. And so they had a large kingdom. And so if you belong to that kingdom, you had to make certain statements. You had to say, I belong to the Roman kingdom. I belong to the Roman Empire. And you had to give your allegiance to Rome first. And if you didn't, there could be trouble for that. And that also came with a second acknowledgement. Do you know what they call the guy who is in charge of the Roman Empire? Do you guys know what his title was? It starts with a C. It's also a salad dressing. Caesar, there you go. So Caesar is a title. It's not a name. Caesar is a title, and Caesar is the emperor over the title. And so if you were a citizen of that empire, the second acknowledgement you had to make was the line, Caesar is Lord. So I am part of the Roman Empire and Caesar is Lord. And what Paul is telling them to do is to say, you have to remember that you are a citizen of God's kingdom. He doesn't say, remember, be a good Roman citizen. Make sure you do all the right stuff or Rome's going to come in and get you. He's like, you got to remember that you are a citizen of God's kingdom. And so when things got started early on, when people were walking around in the Roman Empire and making statements of Jesus is Lord, people are just like, I wouldn't say that super loud if I were you, man. That can get you in trouble. Caesar is Lord, not Jesus. I don't even know who this guy is. So for Paul to say Jesus is Lord, for the Philippians to say Jesus is Lord, that's a controversial statement. That can get you in big trouble. That can get you canceled, to kind of use our 21st century language. Like, that is dangerous kind of stuff to talk about then. And just like if you are a citizen of a certain country, you live a certain way. Well, Paul says if you are a citizen of heaven, or if you are a citizen of Jesus' kingdom, you also have to live a certain way. And Paul says you have to live in a way that is worthy of Jesus. You have to live in a way that honors Jesus first, even if it ends up putting you in the same place I am, which is jail. So you have to live a life that honors Jesus first, and that's what it means to be part of the kingdom of heaven, to be a citizen there. So Paul is kind of saying, you may at some point have to make a difficult decision based on your allegiance to Jesus, and it may not be pretty, it may not end well for you, but don't let these people intimidate you. Don't let these people say, you can't say that here. You can't talk about that stuff here. You got to shut that stuff up and start talking about Caesar or things are going to get ugly. Paul's saying, you may have to make a tough choice. And I'm hoping that you choose to live for Christ, even if that puts you behind bars like I am. So Paul's saying, it could get difficult for you, but don't let these people intimidate you by living a different way. But let this be a sign to them that they will be dealt with by God Himself. Meaning, even if this ends in you being in jail a long time, or you even being executed because of these things, that you don't walk afraid to that, but that you walk saying, kind of like what Paul's attitude, he's just like, that's okay, because I know that I'm going to be with the Lord. And so that's just stuff that we don't, especially as young as you all are. Now, as you start to get older, like now I start to think, I'm just like, you know, when I used to like jump down off of a ladder, it didn't hurt. But now that I'm 49 years old, I see like a couple steps and I'm just like, I'm not brave like I used to be when I was your all's age. So you start to think about that stuff as you get older. But right now you're just like, man, I don't want to think about death. This is you're messing, you're depressing me. Paul's just like, it doesn't matter, because if you don't make it out, you win as well, because you get to be with Jesus. That's kind of where his perspective is. Does this make sense? Paul's not trying to be a downer or be a bummer. He's just like, look, we may have to make some tough decisions, but in the end, we still win because we get to be with Jesus. So he's calling for two kinds of living. Whatever you're doing, live. But you also have to remember that you are living as a citizen of God's kingdom. Again, Philippi, remember we talked about it? It's not a happening place. It's kind of a rundown. It's been run down for a while. And maybe for some of these people, they're just like, look, all we've got is what the empire gives us. All we've got is what Caesar and Rome are willing to give us. And they may be the only protection that we have. And Paul says, don't be afraid to lose that, because know where your loyalties are. Caesar didn't, and Caesar is not going to die for you. But Jesus did. And Caesar's power is only good as long as Caesar is alive. And when that Caesar's dead, his power goes with him. Jesus' power goes on forever. So don't be afraid of that stuff. So, all that being said, that brings us to question two. And question two is always going to be, so what? So what, Kevin? What does all this talk about live and living for Jesus, what does this have to do with anything? This is what we're getting at. No matter where we are, no matter where we are, live, all caps, in pursuit of Jesus. No matter where we are, live in pursuit of Jesus. Now, don't just think of this as no matter where you are geographically. It's like, well, right now I'm in Michigan, but most of the time I live in Illinois. So wherever I am, live for Jesus. Got it. That's not super difficult for me. Don't just think about it that way. Think in terms of where you are in your life right now. How is your life right now? Is it pretty good? That's great. Live in pursuit of Jesus. Is stuff going great for you right now? Awesome. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. Live in pursuit of Jesus. Now, how's your life right now? Well, Kevin, it's not been a great year. That stinks. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you had to deal with stuff. I don't even know what your stuff is, but I'm sorry that you had to deal with it. And Jesus is sorry that you've had to deal with it. And Jesus loves you in spite of it. Jesus loves you in spite of the bad stuff that might be going on in your life. Jesus loves you in spite of if you're the person that started the bad stuff in your life. Did you know that? Like, wherever it is, that stinks. But live in pursuit of Jesus, even if this has been a tough year. Here in a couple weeks, as difficult as this might be for me to say, my school's starting back up in like 2 weeks. Our first day of school is August 6th. Some of y'all are like, so is mine. Quit talking about it. Just let me enjoy these last couple weeks. Quit talking about school. Sorry, it's on the brain for me, so therefore we're going to talk about it. So I start school back in a couple of weeks, and this is going to be my fifth year at my school. Now, let me remind you, I work at a Christian school. You follow me? So, I work at a Christian school, and in the 4 years that I've been there, I have seen and I have spoken with students who are dealing with some stuff. They got some stuff going on. I've seen the following over the past 4 years. I've seen plenty of students who deal with anxiety on a daily basis, deal with anxiety all the time for different stuff, for different reasons. I've had students in my class who are dealing with their parents splitting up, their parents' marriage is ending, their parents are getting divorced, then they're going to have to deal with this stuff like, who do I live with? Do I go to mom's house? Do I go to dad's house? Do I go to mom's house for 5 days out of the week and then I go to dad's house for 2 days out of the week? How's this going to work? I didn't ask for any of this stuff and yet here I am in the middle of these things. I've got students who are dealing with that. I had one student a few years ago who was terrified, might be a strong word, but I had one student who was visibly and upset, concerned because her mom was getting out of jail and she didn't want to have to go back and live with her. She was living in like a foster care situation and it was a much better situation than it was for her living with her mom, and she got word that her mom was getting out of jail and she was just like, does this mean I'm going to have to go back into that crazy? Does this mean I'm going to have to go back into that crazy situation? So I had a student who was dealing with that. I've had students who have been dealing with eating disorders. I've had students who had to deal with parents losing jobs and then wondering, are we going to still be living in this house or do we have to move someplace else because of all this stuff? So I've had, and remember, Christian school, and these are middle schoolers. These are people who are your all's age, and they're dealing with some stuff. But your age doesn't give you a free pass through that stuff. And some of you all are dealing with, maybe you're dealing with some of these things. And if you are, I'm sorry that you're having to deal with that. But keep pursuing Jesus through that. Keep following Jesus through the tough stuff. I need to make sure that you hear me on this. If you are dealing with something tough right now, if you're dealing with some difficult things right now, when I say pursue Jesus, live in pursuit of Jesus, I don't want you to think of this as like, this is like the magic pass or the get out of jail free or the cheat code in the video game that's going to help me sidestep all of my problems and now I'm living in pursuit of Jesus and all these things magically went away. That's not going to happen. Paul's believing in Jesus. Did Jesus just like, well, why didn't you say? And he just opens up the jail and Paul walks out. So do you see that? You live in pursuit of Jesus, but it's not going to be this like magic eraser that like takes care of all of the issues. It is not a, I want you to hear this. It is not a way from your problems. It's a way through it. Following Jesus is not a way out of your difficult situation. It's a way through it. Live in pursuit of Jesus. Now, So I'm also kind of saying, if we go to the next slide, this is not YOLO. When I say live in pursuit of Jesus, this is not YOLO. Y'all know YOLO? Okay, YOLO, it means you only live once. And camp is kind of like, sometimes it's almost like a week of YOLO, or it can feel like a week of YOLO. Do we still do the zip line here at camp?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. How many of you are like, I've never done a zip line, but doggone it, I'm doing the zip line this week because this is my YOLO, like kicking in full steam. Or you're like, I've never done tubing. Do we still do tubing here?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never done tubing, but I'm gonna tube this year because YOLO. So it's this idea of like, I got to do this stuff because you only live once, and so we got to get up there. And Paul is not saying live in pursuit of Jesus as this like YOLO. You got to do this because YOLO. Because you notice he didn't say, hey, if I die, I get to be with Jesus, so YOLO, I'm going to see if I can make these guards angry enough to kill me themselves, and then I can go be with Jesus. YOLO! And he didn't say, let these people intimidate you. Don't let these people intimidate you. Instead, go grab whatever sharp object you can find and then go say, all right, who wants some of this? And then maybe the Romans will either kill you then or put you up on a cross like they did Jesus and kill you that way. And then you get to go be with Jesus. YOLO! We're not talking about that. We're not talking about, because remember, he said, you also have to have, you have to live in a manner worthy of following Jesus. When Jesus was captured, Jesus made a statement to Peter when he was arrested the night before he was crucified. And Peter wants to like fight it out with these guards that are going to arrest him. And Jesus looks over at Peter and he's like, don't you think that if I wanted, I could call down 12 legions of angels, which equates out to 120,000 angels. It's like, don't you think I could call down 12 legions of angels and we could settle this right now? So Jesus isn't the picking a fight kind of a matter either, but Jesus is setting the example for us. So Paul isn't saying, hey, let's YOLO, let's pick a fight, and maybe these guys will, you know, they'll kill us, and then we get to go be with Jesus. Like, Paul's like, no, we need to live as like decent people in a manner of following Jesus. So this here's the thing. Here's what YOLO can get for you. Can we go to the next picture here? So this was something happened there. Like it was supposed to say, this is what YOLO can do. So y'all know this? Y'all seen this picture? Yeah. So this is what YOLO can do. What y'all know what happened with this? So, my man right here was out in Yellowstone National Park. Anybody ever been there? All right. I was out in Yellowstone about 5 years ago. And when you are going into the park, they say, look, You are the guest. The animals that live here are the residents. So they get to do what they want to do here, and you need to stay away. Because if you don't stay away, this is what can happen. So my man was there at the park with his grandkid, and this was a bison that was just minding his own business, and he wanted to see if he could get close to get a picture. Well, as I tell my 7th and 8th graders, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And this bison didn't have it. He chased this dude around this tree and finally got him into the clearing and launched that dude probably a good, 10, 15 feet in the air. But this is what YOLO can do sometimes. All right? Your YOLO can get the best of you. YOLO got the best of my man here, and he went to the, I think he broke something. He broke a rib, or he broke a shoulder, or he broke something. Do you know what he broke? What's that? No, he's good. He's still alive, but I mean, this is going to live on for a while. I've already seen like people photoshopping it, like he's got a skateboard underneath his feet, like he's doing like a trick or something. So we got to watch out for YOLO, because YOLO can sometimes get us this. Now YOLO can be good, like you conquer the zip line or the tubing this week, but this is what sometimes YOLO can get for you. All right. So kind of back to what's going on here. We're talking about tough situations. So if you left a tough situation to come to camp this week and you dread going back, I don't want you to take YOLO back with you to this and go home and be disrespectful or rebel or have the wrong attitude. Paul says, no, we're following Jesus, so we have to have the attitude that Jesus had in these situations. We'll get to that later this week about how Jesus handles certain things. But if we're citizens of God's kingdom, we have to handle things a certain way. So we can't just shut down. The response is live in pursuit of Jesus. He's not a way out of this. He's a way through it. So real quick, and then we're going to wrap up here. Have the band come back up here in a minute and close us out. So for a long time, I worked, I was in ministry, and what I had to do, part of my job, was I had to visit people in the hospital who were sick. I had to help plan funerals for people in our church who had passed away, or even people in the community who didn't have a church and passed away. And what I found almost 100% is that the people, the family of somebody who had passed away, or the person who was close to death but was following Jesus, had a much better outlook on life than the people who weren't following Jesus. Does that make sense? The people who were living in pursuit of following Jesus had a much better outlook on, even though somebody was getting ready to die, they had a better outlook on stuff. I couldn't tell you how many times I heard people say the following, either when going through a funeral or going through like a major surgery or somebody that was near death, saying, I don't see how somebody who isn't following Jesus can get through this stuff. That's somebody experiencing something tough and living in pursuit of Jesus. So, we'll have to skip over this chart. Maybe it'll come back later this week. So can you jump to our third question, which is now what? So here's the question. Again, here's the question. We'll return this one on ourselves. And worship team, you guys had a closing song, right? If you guys want to come on up and get in place, we'll talk through this while you guys are getting set up here. Here's the question. Jesus, where is the tough spot in my life that you're challenging me to live? Again, if you've got a tough thing, maybe you're just like, look, the tough thing isn't going to start until school starts. Maybe school itself is your tough thing. Maybe you're just like, I'm not the best at math. and I've had 10 weeks not to have to think about math, and I'm going to be thrust back into a math class, and I'm not feeling it. And that's my tough. That can be your tough spot. That's okay. Jesus isn't one of these who's just like, not tough enough, next. Jesus is like, what's your problem? He's like, man, I'm not great at spelling, so I'm not a big fan of English class. Jesus is like, we can work on that. Jesus may not make you a world champion speller, but Jesus will give you life through that, and you will make it. Now, if it's heavier stuff, it's not going to go away, but Jesus can give you life through it. He's not going to take that away from you, but he will lead you through the tough stuff. I promise you that. I have lived through a lot of tough stuff over 49 years, and Jesus has brought me through those things. I'm not saying it was easy, I'm not saying it was fun, but he did get me through it. So, that's a promise that I have for you. And so, as you think about that question, Jesus, how can I live through the tough spot? Let me pray for you guys, and then our worship team is going to close us out here. Jesus, can you give us that attitude that we see Paul having? I can't imagine the jail in a first century prison to be kind of like what we think about jail here. I'm not even sure Paul was getting 3 meals a day. I'm not even sure Paul was getting any sort of what we would call ethical treatment as a criminal. We don't know what Paul had to endure here because he is choosing to talk about his life in Jesus rather than to dwell on the things that stink. And so, Jesus, can you show us where that tough spot is in our lives that you are calling us to live through that, not avoid it, not dread it, not try to sidestep it or not think about it, but Jesus, where are you calling us to live in spite of some difficult stuff that we might be facing? So God, speak to our hearts. God, may the words of this closing song also speak to that we would find truth in that. Thank you for the chance to see your goodness here now. And so God, would you be glorified by our worship? Thanks for our time here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.